Well, the last night of the meeting, and I'll tell you, it's been a joy to be back in Albany, Georgia. I appreciate Brother Hamner, Brother Jones, Brother Lewis, and all of you who had a part in having me back to come and preach to you for these few days. It's been a real joy and a real privilege in every way. The ladies who fixed the meals, you've been great. The friendliness and warmth of the congregation and the visitors, just couldn't ask for more. Now, last night, I did run into a little hostility. I wore an orange shirt, a blue suit. I had forgotten Georgia and Auburn rivalry. And so I was told that you don't wear blue and orange around here. I spoke at Auburn a while back, wore a red shirt and a white tie. They let me know you don't wear red and white at Auburn either. So tonight I've come dressed, I hope, appropriately. Now, I will say of this suit I got on, I plan on being buried in this suit. This is a Hart Schaffner and Mark suit. It was bought for me and given to me. Now, Ruth drives me. This is the truth. I said, Ruth, how do I look with this suit on? She said, like a $40 horse with a $1,000 saddle. Ruth, I got to tell you something. Your job's not that secure. You could be in as much danger as being in Donald Trump's cabinet. That's not a very secure position, is it? But anyway, I thought that was a cute joke. She said that I looked like a $40 horse, $1,000 saddle. But everything has been great, and I look forward maybe someday being with you here. Who knows? And if not, for sure, being with you in heaven. I have tried to preach to you lessons that maybe were a little different. Used to in a gospel meeting, I pretty well knew what I was going to preach. One night on the Bible, one night on the church, one night on baptism, one night why we do the things we do, one night on the name. But in recent years, I've tried to change that a little bit because we hear that and should all the time. I've tried to bring lessons to you that are a little different and maybe some things that you hadn't considered before. I'm blessed to be on a number of lectureships. They never say I'm good. They just say you're different. They say when we assign some of the preachers a subject, we pretty well know what they're going to say. When we give you a subject, we don't know what you're going to say. And I will say that they keep their eye on me very closely, what I might say. I was on one lectureship, and it's a very conservative college. And I got up and I made the statement, this is going to be in my lesson tonight, so I'll just make it up to you up front, that there's one book of the Bible that I believe the name's wrong. And I think we're not getting the full benefits because it's been named wrong. It was named by men. And when I said this, I could just about feel, oh. But I mentioned the book of Hebrews. I said that really is a book about Jesus. It's the book of betters. Every chapter telling us how Jesus is better. Better than angels, better than Moses, better than the law, better than Melchizedek. He's the greatest thing of all. It is the book of Jesus. Well, when the lectureship was over, I saw one of the most conservative of the members of this faculty. I saw him head for the back door. I said, uh-oh, I'm fixing to get a lecture. But that's okay. As I went out, he was going to greet me first. He said, James, I believe you're right. I was surprised. But I still believe that that book would be better if you and I recognized it is named by men as a book of being about Jesus. Tonight I want to speak to you on a subject that's not new or start off with. I want to speak on the assurance of our going to heaven. But first let me mention the theme of the Bible. And you know this well. The theme of the Bible is someone. The first 39 books of the Bible, someone is coming. From Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 3 and verse 16 at least, verse 15, someone is coming, he's going to be crucified. 39 books, someone is coming. The first four books of the New Testament, someone has come. And the next 23 books of the New Testament, someone is coming again. There are 300 references in the Bible to the coming of Jesus. 300 prophecies that were fulfilled in every detail so that you and I would know that he was the Son of God. Then John tells us in John 20 that the things Jesus did that was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were so that you and I would know and believe that he was the Son of God. And of course, the next 23 books, the lives of those that believe, he's coming again. The Bible, the theme is Jesus. Now, brethren, we've done well, and I want to commend us in the way we have the church organized. Elders, deacons, teachers, we've done well. We've done well in the name of the church. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. He's the only hope that we have. And we've done well in naming the church of Christ, and holding to that. We've done well in the way that we worship, making sure that we're biblical. We've done well in the plan of salvation without adding anything to or taking anything from. We have done well, and we're to be commended for it. But I wonder sometime if maybe we haven't fallen a little short on what we have to say about Jesus. Without Jesus, we have nothing. And we know more sometime about the church, and we should know all we can, about all the things of the church, obedience to the gospel. But the Apostle Paul said to know Jesus and him crucified. This was his goal and this was his aim in life, to know Jesus and him crucified. Now, to illustrate a need that I believe that we have, let me go back to Jacob. Because in many ways, Jacob represents us. Everything that Jacob strived for was promised to him before he was born. He didn't have to strive like he did. He didn't have to do the things that he did. And it cost him a lot. He took his birthright from his brother, but before he was ever born, God had said it would be his. The younger would serve the older would be serving the younger. God had promised him that before he was ever born. And yet Jacob strived, did the things he did, to get what God had promised him. Look what it cost him. One thing, he had to leave home. He loved his mother so much, and she loved him. They were so close. He never saw his mother alive again. He lost the time he could have spent with his daddy, the joys they could have had. Then he was estranged from his brother, feared him all these years. I think about the things that I've tried to do over the years. I've tried to make sure I receive the blessings of God. I've tried to walk in such a way that God could bless me. But many times I strained when I didn't have to. There's a young man that taught me a lesson. I didn't learn it as good as I should, but he really taught me a lesson. I got a call from the prison one day in Ellicott City, Alabama. And the psychologist said, "I've got a young man here in prison. He wants to come to the Church of Christ and visit." The psychologist said, "He's a good fella. All the prisoners like him. He's well Bible taught. He teaches here at the prison. But if you will come and get him and bring him back, He said, I'll parole him to you for all the services. Well, I'd go over and pick up this boy. His name was Bill Moran. And I'd bring Bill to the church services. And I liked him. Everybody in the church liked him. I kept wondering, when is he going to try to get something from me? You know, prisoners are known to try to manipulate you in some way. But Bill never asked for anything. Never asked anyone in the church. He just wanted to be there. Bill had been on drugs out in California. He was driving a van, ran over a man and killed him. And he received a pretty long jail sentence. And for some reason, they sent him to Alabama. So one day, I'm talking to Bill. At that time, I was in the Alabama State Legislature. I said, and preaching to him. I said, Bill, you know, as a legislator, I have a lot of influence. I had more than I told Bill. Two members of the parole board were members of the Church of Christ. Also, we were figuring their budget. I had a lot of pull. I said, Bill, you know that I can probably get you paroled. Now listen to this. I don't believe there's another prisoner in the world that would have said this. Bill said, thank you, but no thank you. He said, I've learned when I get in the way, God gets out of the way. And I want to do everything that God wants me to, but I want God to take care of me. He turned down my offer to get him paroled. Strange enough, it was a few days later, I got a telephone call. He said, Brother Cullens, they're transferring me to Hamilton, Alabama. I said, well, Bill, that's no problem. The warden and I are good friends. I'll call him. We'll get that stopped. He said, no. But you got friends here in the church. We know you. We like you. You like them. You got friends in the prison. He said, no. God wants me to go to Hamilton, Alabama. That's where I'm going. In less than 2 weeks, I got a telephone call about midnight. Said, Brother Cullens, I'm going home. I'm being paroled. He went back home. The last call I got from him, back with his family, doing well. Here's my point. His attitude. I believe that God will keep all the promises he's made to me. I'll do what I'm supposed to, but I don't want to get in God's way. I want to tell you, I believe I'm pretty sure I could help him get paroled. I could never, at my best, have gotten that boy paroled as quick as he was paroled. God was showing me something. He was showing me a lesson. And God's showing us something with Jacob. Jacob did not have to do the things that he did in order to receive the promises of God. And sometimes we scrape, we wear ourselves out, we do things that we shouldn't to try to obtain the blessings of God. So Jacob is a great lesson for us there. But wait, in all of Jacob's doing, here's where he's an example for us. In all of his doings, he suffered working for his uncle, 14 years as a slave to get Rachel as his wife, all the other hardships he endured, and then the call of God comes to him. If you remember, Jacob didn't know the Lord well. The first encounter he really had with God was at Luz, by the name, well, he named it. When Jacob was in Luz, God appeared to him, and Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob didn't know who he was wrestling with. He thought it was some enemy, maybe some rogue from the desert trying to kill him, maybe one of his brother Esau's men trying to kill him, get revenge. Jacob didn't know. And he wrestled all night with him. Then Jacob learned something that he didn't know. His battle was not with the enemy. His battle was not with his brother. He was fighting against God. I think oftentimes We think our enemy's out there, and we're trying to fight against them when really our battle's with God. Do we believe God? Will we let Him bless us? So Jacob goes and lives with his uncle Laban. He's got his wife and his children, and the call of God tells him, go back to Bethel. Jacob changed the name of Luz to Bethel. Beth means house. El means God. God told him to go back to Bethel. And Jacob does just what God tells him. He's worked hard and suffered long, but God has taken care of him. Then he does one of the most amazing things. And here I think is a great need for us. Jacob goes back to Bethel. But look in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 7. What he does. There's a word that only appears this one time in the Bible. Genesis 35 and verse 7. When Jacob got back to Bethel, he changed the name. He built an altar there. And he called it El Beth El. At first, he was at the house of God. When he goes back to the God of the house of God. I think, brethren, there's a great need today, as great as the church is, as great as all these other things are, that we really reach back maybe more than we have to find Jesus and see what He means to us and what He's worth to us. Because you see, some have the church that don't have Jesus. Some have all the great things. Some have obeyed the gospel. But they don't really know what they've got with Jesus. I think there's a great need for us to go back, not just to the Word of God, but go back to the God of the Word of God. I think there's a great need for the Church of Christ, but there's a great need for the Christ of the Church of Christ. And like Jacob, we need to realize that is our great need. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the theme of the Bible, Jesus. Jesus said, John 10, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, I love Abraham being called the friend of God. You know, that's found in Deuteronomy, and then James repeats it in James 2, that Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, it doesn't say that God's a friend of Abraham. Now, there's a difference. Now, some of you older men in here, I'll show you the difference. We'll give you a revelation. Y'all remember Betty Grable, some of you older men? If you don't, you're in bad shape. Well, I'm fixing to tell you something. Betty Grable was my girlfriend. Isn't that wonderful? Or just one problem. I wasn't her boyfriend. She didn't even know I lived and existed. But she was my girlfriend. I was in love with her all the time I was in the military. I think I have a picture of her. But you see, Abraham didn't say that God was Abraham's friend. It says that Abraham was God's friend. And that makes all the difference in the world. Someone says, I'm a friend of God, and most people will claim that, but God's my friend, but are you God's friend? You know, someone says, the president, he's my friend. Not many are going to say that, I don't think, sometime. But anyway, be that as it may. He's my friend. That doesn't mean a thing. But if you could say you was the friend of the president, that opens a lot of doors, doesn't it? And I want to be a friend of God's. And I want to be a friend of Jesus's. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you do the things that I command you. Jesus is everything. He is our salvation. He's our only hope. There's no way to get to the Father but by Him. When I pray, He's the answer. He intercedes with my prayers according to Hebrews chapter 8. By the way, Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10 are three chapters of the Bible we need to be very familiar with. They tell we got a better covenant. We got better hope. We got a better high priest. We got everything better, but it's all in Jesus. He's better than angels. He's better than the law of Moses. 13 chapters there. In the book of Hebrews about Jesus. He's better than everything. But do we really realize how blessed we are. The only hope I have of heaven is Jesus. Now sometime, I believe, even though we may deny this, sometime we're trying to work our way to heaven. The reason I say that, I've seen a number of brethren, and I love my brethren. I really do. I'm one of you. Every weakness I can say you've got, I've got. But I think sometime we're trying to work our way to heaven. One of our deacons was asked a while back by a man, and this man wasn't a member of the Church of Christ, but he asked one of our deacons, he said, if you were to die tonight, you know you'd go to heaven. Now this deacon was a good man, real good. And this deacon kind of stuttered, and he said, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing all that I should do. Well, I can tell that deacon he wasn't. Then he added, maybe I'm doing some things I shouldn't do. And I can add he was. I don't think all of us are doing all we could and should. And I don't think that, and I know that we do things wrong. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why we needed someone to come and pay the price for our sins. And Isaiah said, by his stripes, Isaiah 53, we are healed. That's another book we need to learn more about. Oh, how wonderful it is. Isaiah 61 and verse 9. God will give you double for everything you suffer. Oh, by the way, let me sidetrack a little. I'm trying to get all I can. I'm trying to get you all I know. So if you ever have me back, I'll have to get something new. Did you know Isaiah's been called the Bible book? Ruth, you didn't know that, did you? You know why it's called the Bible book? Well, the Bible has 66 books. You know how many chapters there are in Isaiah? 66. The Bible's broken down, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. You know how the book of Isaiah is broken down? The first 39 chapters deal primarily with the Old Testament. But starting with chapter 40, the next 27 verses deal primarily with the New Testament. When you read the book of Isaiah that way, what a difference it makes. When you read the book of Hebrews, notice it's a book about Jesus, what a difference it makes. But Isaiah tells us he paid the price. He gave what you and I could not give for our sins. Then Hebrews 9, 10, and 11 illustrates this. Or 8, 9, and 10 illustrates this. Christ is our answer. He is our hope. Without Him, we have nothing. And so when we turn it over to Him, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When we are baptized to wash away our sins are forgiven. And the beauty of it is, they are remembered no more. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But when the blood of Christ is applied to us, as the Lord said in Exodus 12 and verse 13, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's my hope of heaven. Not because I'm worthy. Not because that I've not done anything wrong. When God sees the blood, He's going to pass over me. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. But according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm depending upon God. The good works that I do, no matter how good they are, Isaiah said, I can't elaborate on this. I wish I could. But I can't. I'm just going to put it out there. He said that our works, this is our best, the good we can do, before God is like filthy rags. I wish I could elaborate on that. I can't. But it's to say, not that we shouldn't do good works, but they won't get us into the temple. They won't allow us into the temple. They won't allow us the benefits of God, but only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. Only the blood of Christ can wash away my sins. Here's something beautiful to me. When you read the Old Testament, The sins of Abraham are told, no matter how great he is. The sins of David are told, no matter how great he is. No matter how good they were, their sins are told just as plain and straight. God didn't withhold anything. Their sins were not charged against them, but their sins were still there. But when you get to the New Testament, not a one of them has their sins mentioned. Have you ever noticed that? Because their sins are forgiven. And God said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for my salvation. He's the answer for my coming back, being reconciled to God. He's my hope where I fall short. He's my hope where I go further. He's the only hope that I have. Jesus is the answer. The Lord's blessed me to do a lot of travel. And I've been blessed to go a number of places. And this old passport, this one and one like it, you know, I've never had a problem with this passport. But I've had a lot of concerns. Some of you know my wife was born in East Germany. During the war, she was separated from her family. And for about 12, 13, 14 years, she didn't know they was alive. They didn't know she was alive. They were pushed into Poland. Her daddy and brother she never saw again. Her mother and sisters. And Margaret found out as she came back to the United States that her mother and three sisters were in Poland. They were alive. And oh, she was excited over it. They were alive and they wrote to each other. But there was no hope of seeing them. No way she could get into a communist country. In 1971 or two, I had an idea. I talked to the Lord about it. I want to go into a communist country. I went and talked to a German preacher. He said, James, I wouldn't go into those Polish communist countries under no condition. No way. I said, I've got to go. I've got to take Margaret to see her family. I didn't tell Margaret. But I started doing the paperwork. Now, the communists were not back in that time, now, it wasn't easy to get into a communist country. It was fearful, especially with an American passport. And they wouldn't give me a lot of information. I'm doing a lot of guesswork. Do I have it right? Are my papers right? I'm doing the best that I can. And it wasn't real to Margaret. When I told her what I was trying to do, she didn't get excited. She was just as calm as she could be. That morning we left Frankfurt, Germany, had to fly in on a German airline. American planes couldn't go in. She was just as calm. I'm a nervous wreck. When the airplane set down in Warsaw, Poland, and started taxiing toward the airport, she broke down. She hadn't seen her family in 28 years. And she broke. She cried all the way to the airport. But my danger's not over. It's not over. Are they going to let us in? Are our papers right? We don't know. We got in, we were sitting in a room about like this one. And around the walls or up on the balcony are all the people waiting to see their relatives. I said, Margaret, don't look up. If her family's up there and she sees them and we get turned down, what are we going to do? To say the least. I was all shook up. My green passport. You know, I watched those with a red passport. They couldn't check them. They could walk right on through. All they had to do was show that red passport. Show their picture and that was them. They couldn't check their luggage or anything else. I would have given everything I owned for a red passport. Now, brethren, I'm telling you that to tell you this. I can't wait till the judgment day. I can't wait to see if I'm going to make it or not. everything I love and hold dear is either already there or going. And I've got to go now. I've got to know now. I can't go through that with eternity. Is there any way I can be assured? I would have given all that I own for a red passport, but you couldn't have bought one. I couldn't get one. You had to be an ambassador. But I'll tell you, when it comes to going to heaven, I've got a red passport. My friends know that I want this buried with me. Ambassadors have a red passport. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, we're ambassadors for Christ. We have a red passport. Now listen to this. You don't learn anything else I know. You don't learn anything else I've taught tonight. Remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now. 7 chapters of the book of Romans have been written. All of this therefore is for now. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now the translators meant well. And sometime they would add their thinking to the translation. And I may say this. I don't know of anyone that ever put their own words in there that took away from it. But sometime they might have made it a little more difficult for us. So the translators, and this is in italics in your Bible, the translators added, there's no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus. This is in italics. It's not in the NIV because it wasn't in the original. To them who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You don't have to add that. That's good to do. That'd be a blessing. But period, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. No way to stop you. You've got a red passport. You're going to heaven. This is the promises of God. You can't earn it. We can bless ourselves and be blessed, but we turn it all over to Jesus. I try to walk in the light as He's in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He keeps us clean. And I've got a red passport. When I was baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3, I was baptized into His death. I was buried with Him by baptism into death. But like as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, I also shall be, I shall rise to walk in newness of life. I've done that. What more can I do? Don't have to do anymore. I can belabor, I can strain myself. That doesn't mean I shouldn't go out. I should want others. I have a red passport. I should want everybody to go to heaven. And for no other reason, because God loves you. And I love Him. If I love Him, I love His family. There's people, there's children that I have loved because I love their parents. I didn't know the children that well. There's children I've done things for because I love their parents. And today, I want to take all that I can with me to heaven because I love the Lord. But I want to go myself. I've got a red passport. And I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about it. We stood there in that line, shivering and shaking. Are we going to get through? Oh, by the way, we did. Oh, what a reunion. To see this family that hadn't seen each other in 28 years, that family I haven't seen in a long time. I've got that wife I haven't seen in over 17 years. Look, I can't get there and wonder if I'm going to see her again. She had her red passport. There's no doubt in my mind where she is. I've got to be there too. And God has blessed me so greatly. And you. And it's all in Jesus. It's not in us. It's not in our works. And His church is wonderful. He's added this to His church. Acts 2:47, He adds daily such as should be saved. And the church is great in every way. But greater than the church is Jesus. We need to emphasize him and his blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know, the people in Egypt, those Israelites, I don't know how good they were. I'm sure there's much like us. There are some good ones, some mean ones, faithful and unfaithful. You know how many died? You know how many died when death came over the firstborn and all of it? You know how many of the Jews died? Not one. Not one. They had the blood on the top of the doorpost and on each side. Not one died. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll be at the judgment. But I won't be in the judgment. I've been at court lots of times. Thank God I've never been in court. Don't want to be. I was there. I was passing through. And at the judgment, I'm going to be there. But I'm going to pass through. Brethren, do you have that assurance tonight? God has promised it. He's given it to us. It's ours. All we have to do is claim it. One more illustration. Don't want to hold you too long, but I'm on a subject near and dear to my heart. But I got to go one more time. On Jacob again. No wonder God said, the only man in the Bible God said, I love. Oh, he loved everybody. But Jacob specifically, he said, Jacob have I loved. Let's go back to Jacob again. He went back this time to the God of the house of God. But before he died, there's a great story in Genesis chapter 45. Beginning with verse 17. Jacob's blind. He called all of his boys in front of him. He's giving them a blessing. He called Joseph's two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob's going to give them a double blessing. Because of what Joseph's done, they're going to get a double blessing. And so Joseph brings his boys. He sets Manasseh on the right hand of Jacob. He's the oldest. Manasseh's supposed to get the double blessing. He sets Ephraim on the left side. He's supposed to get the lesser blessing. And there sits Jacob with his hands like this. Manasseh here and Ephraim here. And Jacob took his hands and he crossed them. Joseph said, no, you can't do that, Father. Jacob said, what I've done, I've done. The younger son is going to be greater blessed than the older son. By the cross, the younger will be greater blessed than the older. Those under the Old Testament truly had many, many blessings. But not like those that are under the cross. They weren't promised eternal life. They didn't have forgiveness of their sins. But God has given you and me everything through Jesus Christ our Lord. The one man that seemed to know this more than any other man I've ever read about or heard of was the Apostle Paul. He said, I want to know him. I want to know his sufferings. And all there is about him is how great he is. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight, I know I'm going to heaven. Because God has promised it. And he's promised it by the cross. I've got a red passport. Have you? God has them ready to hand out. He'd like to give everyone one. Jesus died for all men. He wants every person. He's promised us. And heaven is ours. If I gained the whole world and lost my soul, what has it profited me, Jesus says? But if I were to save my soul and lose the whole world, I'm profitable. But the beauty of it is, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the life that now is, that's the younger son, we're double blessed. And having the life that is to come. Oh, if we realize tonight how blessed we are There's a lot of blessings that I didn't know how great they were when I had them. I didn't know how great my mother and daddy was when I had them. Someday I'll get to explain it to them. I'm sorry I didn't know. And many will not know until they stand in the line and they refuse entrance because they don't have a red passport. The Lord has sealed it. He has it to give to you. You know tonight you're going to heaven? Through Jesus, we have that assurance. And so I want to ask you tonight, becoming a member of the church is important. In every way, being a Christian is important. But I'll tell you, I'll just set this one figure above them all. Having Jesus is the summary of every bit of it. He offers you the invitation tonight. Become a child of His. If you would simply obey the gospel. I don't understand it all. I don't know about being baptized into Jesus and how the blood's applied. But God told me it is. That's all I need to know. Every promise He's made, He's kept. I might add that every promise God's made is a debt He owes. I say that reverently. God will pay His debts. And God promised me eternal life when He gave me a red passport. You need one tonight. He's ready to hand it to you. It's up to you. I don't know when He's coming. I don't know when you're going. You know, I never did know when I was going overseas. I didn't know the exact dates, but I kept my passport ahead of time. Always had it ready. I never waited till I got there and said, hey, I'm going to apply for a passport. Always kept my passport ahead of time. And I don't know when I'm going to need this one. I've had it for a while. But I'll tell you, it's updated. I keep it updated. Every time I confess my sins and pray, I'm putting a new date on it. I don't want it to expire because I'm going to be using it soon. There's no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. His invitation's yours while we stand, while we sing the song selected.
There's a fountain free.